Hello, and welcome to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate, the tortured Swiftie.
Big news, everybody. I'm not so Swift Sam, who's getting secondhand excitement vibes off of the very melancholy introduction of Kate.
I'm tortured.
She's tortured. The state of ennui.
I'm tortured.
The agony coming out of her right now, radiating through the microphone. Yeah.
It was a wild ride this week. I am exhausted.
I'm sure. Restaurant week, number one.
Well, so you'll appreciate the story. I knew Tortured Poet was coming out midnight, Thursday night, Friday night.
Midnight.
Yes. So, like, we got out of work. It was a crazy night at work. I went and had a drink with Christy. And I'm like, all right, like, I have to be out of here at 11:53 so I can get home, get in my pajamas, and, like, hit play. And the guys at the bar are like, what are you talking about? And I was like, Taylor's new album, guys. And they're like, what? What are you talking? What? I'm like, nice to know you don't listen to the podcast, eh? Taylor's dropping Tortured Poets Department at midnight. And I, like, you know, need to be there. And they're just like, sure, Kate, here you go. Have a great night. And they get there and I pull up my Spotify and it's crashed.
Yep.
And I was like, just want to hear the song. And like 3-4 minutes later, it came back up and I was like, all right. And then I listened to it once all the way through, not looking at any lyrics, just like absorbing it. And then the second time I was like, oh, it's late, but someone's coming at 2. There's a big countdown on our Instagram. Okay, well, let's do it again. I'll read some lyrics, but I was, you know. And then at 2 a.m. when she's like, 15 more songs, I went, oh no. So I went to bed and got up at 7 and then
listened.
Yeah.
So you're there to know. And yeah. Then you need
I was like, I don't know if I can do another hour like of new, like, I'm so tired. I'm not going to be able to absorb
it. You'd be the kid at the fun park. You're just like,
things happened. I already was a little punchy for the first half. So I'm like, I don't know. One glass of wine and I'm just like, wow. This is a vibe.
That's so fitting because I could already see the glass of wine in your hand hearing it for the first time and then having you be punchy with the like.
Oh, no, I had the glass of wine at the bar. I was home with a bottle of water.
Okay. I could just see like the I'm just going to have another sip to stay up. Oh, Taylor, why would you?
Oh, no.
My emotions.
I'm like, oh, wow. Another album. This is going to be amazing. I got to go to bed.
So. Yeah, I got a message Friday night from Kiwi, our buddy Kiwi. And it just said Florida with an exclamation point. And I was like, oh yeah, man.
3 exclamation points.
So
it's
I got
a hell of a drug, Sam.
I got that text message from him and I was chatting. And I was in the impression that he's in Florida.
No,
he's listening to the song. And then when he tells me that, I was like, oh, I like, honestly, I thought you were just like in Florida and we're excited. Finally, he's like, I've known you for more than 12 years and you think anything about Florida excited me before? Like, why? I was just excited because I thought you found something you enjoyed. He's like, I did. It's the song Florida.
With Florence.
And the Machine.
And Emma Stone.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Emma Stone singing too?
Oh, yeah. All right. You know, it's a group effort here. I think it's really fun. This album, I haven't even scratched the surface of it. I've listened to it and I'm just not fully immersed because it's just a beast. But I was also talking to Kiwi on Friday.
Oh, really?
We're discussing the album. And I was like, yeah, like, I think I've got at least a little bit of like a hold on the first half. Like, I have a couple favorites. Like, I'm starting to kind of like narrow in where, like, what I'm feeling about it. But the second half, I just haven't had time to really like dive in. And he's like, yeah. Okay. And like, he's like, you know, I like to start at the end of the album and listen to each song twice as I work my way through. And I was like, oh wow, that's an adventure. Like 31 songs. Okay. And then about 20 minutes later, he goes, wait, hold on. It's a double album. There's 15 other songs. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Why doesn't she put out 2 separate albums?
So I think, and I really kind of, I've been reading the reviews, which some are glowing and others are more not so kind. The New York Times has skewered her not once but twice since Friday. Mm-hmm. I think that she kind of, in the eras of Taylor, this is kind of her closing era. Like, there's just something about this that feels like a finality to me on her past work. And I think with all of her re-recording she's doing as I listen to these songs, there's a lot of callbacks, a lot of lyrics that intertwine with lyrics from other songs from past eras. There's a lot of symbolism in there that you've seen from early Taylor through Evermore Folklore. I just kind of feel like this album is her being like closing the loop on a lot of these stories. And so while some of these songs I think are very much about Maddie Healy, way less about Joe Alwyn. And we'll get into it with this song that we're listening to. But it's a very interesting take on her career. And I think when you've been immersed in your re-recordings and you've gone through, you've ended your 6-year relationship, you've gone through this wild manic situationship that's been percolating for years since the 1989 era. He's always kind of been on the back burner. And then you end up with Travis, who seems to be, by all accounts, really healthy and stable relationship for her. This is her being like, okay, I've put my past to bed. Like, I'm moving forward with a clean slate. And this is it. Like, I'm done talking about it. I'm done revisiting this part of my life. Mm-hmm. We're moving on. And there's a couple, we're listening to Tortured Poet Department, the song today. And there's some things in there, some lyrics in there that really, like, from the get-go, make you go, okay, this feels like she's ending a story. Like, this is kind of her manuscript. This is where we are at. This is what I'm leaving behind. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And she said that, like, this is all I want to talk about with these things. I'm putting it out there. And so I think the two albums were really, here's me settling all my past grudges. Like, still don't like you, Kim Kardashian. Like, you are not, like, we are not good. Maddie Healy was a wild fever dream of slash nightmare. Joe, like, so long, London. It is what it is. We're moving forward. And it's interesting to see, after we get through the last two re-records, if she's going to put out anything new for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, fans are speculating because she put out a Fortnite, like, social media video with a lot of, like, lilac in it. And they're like, oh, Lilac Lavender is TS12. And I'm like, I don't know if we're going to get TS12 at all, if not in the near future. Like, I don't know.
TS12? What do you mean?
Her 12th album.
This is, okay, because it's 11, yeah.
Like, I think, you know, and the New York Times really was like, I think there's Taylor Swift fatigue out there, which we've talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a song where, you know, she's like, I can do it with a broken heart, and the fans are chanting more. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, like, that's the, I mean, if you just pull back, in 2020, we got Folklore. 2021, we got Evermore. We got Red re-record. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Fearless re-record. Then we got Red re-record. Then we got Midnights. Then we got Speak Now. Mm-hmm. Then we got 1989 Taylor's version. Now we have two Tortured Poets.
Consumer side and Taylor side, there could be Taylor Swift fatigue.
And this is where I'm kind of like a little frustrated with some of the fan base, because there's so much content from Taylor out there. And they're still like, so when are we getting Reputation? And I was like, I don't need Reputation anytime soon. I need to get through Tortured Poets.
There is an ungrateful quality that can, like, come with the fandoms.
What is going on here, guys? Like, we have 31 songs. Like, spend some time, immerse, enjoy, learn. The last time we had 30 songs was the Red re-record, and we knew most of them. Mm-hmm. So this is a whole beast of an album or albums. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get through all of this torture. Like, what is wrong with you? Stop talking about Reputation.
Taylor announces,
I can't take Reputation anytime soon.
Taylor announces that she's going to release an album, and everyone goes crazy.
Yeah.
And then it's, well, she's probably going to release another album. She releases the album. 2 hours later, there's the compendium, the second half.
The anthology
that's released. And 2 seconds after that happens, they go, where's the other album?
Or, this looks like this next album. And I'm like, we're good, guys. Like, I still don't feel like I've had enough time with re-records. And there was something about, like, the Fearless, we had a lot of time to like immerse ourselves in. Red, we had a lot of time to immerse ourselves in. Midnights, we had the Eras Tour. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is crazy. This is exhausting for me as a fan. How is this for Taylor living your life, being normal, having relationships, and getting all of this content out?
There's a podcast that I used to like listen to that was, the content was, it was released every week and we usually run 3 to 4 hours.
That's
and
wild.
And it'd be one of those things like you can, it's, it can be drive time. It can be like that night when it's released. You can listen to it, watch and everything. It's been going on for 7 years plus. The amount of time it would take for a new listener to start with, like, these are the original things that we released. And then here's the second season. Here's the third season. It's too much content that it's daunting.
Yeah.
With Taylor Swift, albeit, you know, it's not 3 hours, it's 3 minutes per individual story and song. Ten-ish minutes. Yeah. Okay, so it's about 8.5 hours for each song. It's getting to a point where there's so much Taylor content. For a new fan, maybe where do you begin? How do you do this? Or the idea of like, it, if it's becoming, if there was another album released on top of this new album with its...
No, thank you. No, thank you. Too much.
Too much.
Too much overstimulated. You know, I think it's interesting because people who are not, like, the Swifties are divided on this album. The like hardcore, been here for a while Swifties are like, wow, this. And yep. The just join the party, like getting their feet wet, are like, I don't know. Not my thing. All set. And I think it's really interesting because she does take her fans to task a couple mm-hmm. times in this album. And I was like, yeah, she's right. She's right. And, you know, I think that this is an album that Taylor wrote for her that is going to appeal in totality to a Swiftie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not for the critics. And I don't think it's, I mean, yeah.
Call the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah, she'd love to get the awards for it. She'd love the recognition. She'd love for people to celebrate the work that is her work.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that you can be a casual Taylor Swift fan or an observer,
mm-hmm.
listen to this album and walk away with it being like, yes. Like you have to like, this isn't the inside joke that you're not a part of. So it's not funny.
Well, the article Dad sent us Saturday, wired.com.
Yeah.
And it was, you had people saying like, new, interesting, I don't know, it's branching out. And then half the people saying like, I feel like it's AI made.
Yeah.
This isn't actually Taylor. Like this, it's, have you looked at the lyrics and the breakdown? Like there's no way she wrote this or machine wrote this. Guess what she's been become? She's become a machine that cranks out all this content for all of you greedy goblins.
Well, and again, like there's so, like it very clearly is written by Taylor. And it's very clearly written by somebody who has revisited all of her past work
mm-hmm.
in like a short time frame because the themes are in and out and it's manic. And when we get into the song, and the reason I picked the Torture Poets Department song
mm-hmm.
is because I think it really kind of speaks to what I'm getting at with what this album says to me.
Mm-hmm. Is this the track
the
one?
The title track. So okay. But before we jump into that, there are some numbers.
Okay.
So we don't have full week album sales or right. full week streams, but she did break a record, break her own record mm-hmm. for vinyl sales. And the last one she did was her last one, which was 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And she broke that as evidenced by the vinyl sitting here that we got for your collection, Jason. He's going to be such a Swiftie.
Such a Swiftie.
But do you want to hazard a guess to how many streams she got in what, her first day in Spotify?
Can you remind me what the previous record was?
Somewhere, I think, around 150 million.
Okay.
And I could be wrong, so
for,
I might get
for the re-release of 1989, 150 million.
No, I think Midnights.
Okay, for Midnights, so 159 million on the first day streams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hazard the guess and say 164.
No.
167?
No, not even close.
Think about how many songs were on this album versus the last one.
Don't.
300 million.
Don't.
Fortnite. The first song on the album got 40 million streams in one day. Taylor holds the top three streaming debuts on Spotify, Tortured Poets, Midnights, and 1989 Taylor's version. And Apple Music said it was the biggest pop album stream of all time. Which, you know what? Good for her. This is like a big thing. And streaming music, coming out with all those songs, an album that's not full of radio-friendly songs. There's no glitter pen songs on this.
That's so many people.
I know, so many people.
300 million?
There's also bots.
Well, yeah.
True.
But still.
True. AI, listening to AI, go figure.
300 million worldwide.
That's in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Does Beyonce even come close when she puts out? Not even. Not I, didn't even think close. So. I didn't think
no.
so.
No. I mean, she was holding it for the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Not got broken in
sorry,
a day.
Sorry, Beyonce.
And like, this is Texas.
You know, and it's funny because if you think about it, the Taylor did very little marketing. Spotify did a pop-up for her. She put out some lyrics.
The fans did all the marketing yep. for her.
She doesn't need to market anything. There are people like you that have podcasts, that have blogs, that have Twitters, that have
TikToks,
everything.
And I'm going to put this into a way that I can understand. Taylor Swift is Oreo. Taylor Swift is Oreo cookie.
Okay.
When's the last time you saw a commercial for Oreo? You don't need to. It's Oreo cookie. It sells itself. It became 100 years ago. They're like, we created the best cookie. Why would we change it? And now all it is it's Taylor Swift Oreo, and then which era Oreo do you want? Do you want the Halloween area? Do you want the double stuff and mega stuff? Do you want it to be gluten-free? These are all the eras.
Well, actually, they're all gluten-free. And they are accidentally vegan.
Accidentally vegan.
Just saying.
No, not all Oreos are gluten-free. There's a white package that says gluten-free. All the others have gluten.
Oh, all right. Well. Google was wrong.
I date a practical magic person who has to have gluten-free.
Jeez. All right.
Free the glutens, baby. Okay. So, yeah, she has all everyone to do all the promotion for her.
Yeah.
You are trained well. And here I am, a part of the machine.
Welcome.
Call me Florence.
Aw. So, on that note, we're going to hit pause. You hit pause. We're listening to the title track, A Tortured Poet Department. Which is track two. Track two.
Track two.
And we'll be right back. Well, Sam.
What's the word of word up? Sorry. Drum beat going in had a very 1980s hip hop rap. Fine Young Cannibals.
I got some Paula Abdul cameo. Out of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of fitting with the latest trend. It feels like top of the pops artists have been doing is kind of bringing back the 80s feel. We saw that with Ariana Grande with Say That With Your Chest. Had that Madonna 80s vibe to it. Okay. But I mean, this is bare minimum. This is bare bones.
Yeah, I mean, it's just beginning production, really, then it settles in.
Right. But I just mean, like, in the long scheme of the song, like, that's the smallest factor is the first 4 seconds.
It's not a bad song.
It's not a bad song. It's not a...
Wow.
It's not a bad song.
Gosh, glowing. Glowing
reviews. It's misunderstood.
It's not a bad song, says...
The two non-Swifties.
The two non-Swifties on the Swift Talk.
It's so funny that, you know... With that article, with what I've said before, with like what we've talked about, how people would say or think that this is an AI song, because there's so many ways she could deliver a line and she does it an entirely different way.
Can I guess which one really is going to stick out to you? Can I just guess? Can I guess? Because I think I've got it.
Papa, please.
At dinner, you take my ring off my middle finger and put it on the one people put wedding rings on, and it's the closest I've come to my heart exploding.
Right on the head.
Yeah, no. 138, 39 episodes, you think I can't decode what Swifty line is going to send you spinning?
There were some that were like, okay, that would be a good... But yeah, this is the most obvious. That's the most obvious.
I love that line.
You don't call anymore. Rust growing on the telephone wire. Like, that is...
Love this line.
It's such a Taylor way to write.
I know. It's such a callback to Paper Rings, too.
Okay. So let's go into this. This album, this song, this is going to be filled with callbacks, huh?
This song is chaotic to me because she's talking about Patti Smith,
to you?
Dylan Thomas. She's got Charlie Puth in there. She's got a call out to Jack Antonoff. She's got a call out to Lucy Dacus from Boy Genius.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other day you were saying this was sonically cohesive.
I think it is sonically cohesive. Quote, unquote. I think it's sonically cohesive, but I think the lyrics are chaotic. And I do think this album is sonically cohesive. I do love it.
So every song sounds the same.
No, every song works together. But this song, Fortnite, you're like, okay, like, yes, this is where we're going. Okay. And then we get to Tortured Poets, which is like upbeat. Like, no one's going to love you like I love you. So just move on from your past and your garbage and figure yourself out because I'm the best you're ever going to get. I was like, you know, I've been there. You're in that situationship and you know they're broken and you know you're probably very broken too. And it's not a recipe for success, but you're like, it's fine.
I'm a garbage fire. You're a meth raccoon. We got
you're
this.
You're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith.
Which is...
We're just modern idiots.
I mean, okay.
You love that line.
You take a classic Welsh poet.
Mm-hmm. So now Maddie Healy is British. So, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, same.
Yeah. Uses less consonants than the Welsh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Patti Smith being poet laureate, singer, songwriter,
American
CBGB,
who also got a lot of flack for dating very famous men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of flack and a lot of conversation about that and wrote about them.
Which if you want to dive deeper, her biggest hit song, Because the Night, which was then covered by Bruce Springsteen. I mean, yeah. Written with Bruce Springsteen in some senses, but like he had his version, she had her version. Mm-hmm. Like that song right there, if you want to do a compendium to this song or get a deeper appreciation, you know, Come On Now, Baby, Here As I Am, Take Me Now, Try and Understand,
yeah.
Because the Night Belongs to Lovers. Like all of that is...
It's a very fleeting moment, and this is a very fleeting
moment and relationship. Yeah. But you figure like this is what it is.
Yeah. And so like, I think when you start to like unfold the layers of this song, you're like, okay, like, you know, you're not Dylan Thomas. You're not this world renowned poet. I'm not Patti Smith. I'm nowhere near the gravitas she has. And it was actually really cute because Patti Smith responded to this song.
Yeah.
She posted on Instagram a picture of her reading a book by Dylan Thomas. And she goes, this is Saying I Was, moved to be mentioned in the company of the great Welsh poet, Dylan Thomas. Thank you, Taylor. She wrote it as a poem.
She's cool. A classy artist.
Patti Smith is the bomb.
She's so fabulous. I met her at the music hall when she came.
I got to ask her a question at the music hall when she came.
Look at us, friends before we knew it. I was backstage tweeting. She was really cool. Very lovely.
She's super cool. I wish I got to meet her. I wish I got to ask her a question. I wish I got to see her face.
Yeah, she's
smell
cool.
Her music.
Well, when I, as a non-Swiftie listening to the song, I was listening the lyrics, the typewriter, the tattooed arm or tattooed
Labrador
person,
golden
Labrador,
retriever,
golden retriever, whatever you want. I was thinking it was John Mayer because back when he was writing the Born and Raised album, he was talking about typing lyrics to this song. He was doing Walt Grace's Submarine Test, and I was thinking maybe it was some holdover track from a long time ago.
I think in this album, she's pulling a little bit of John Mayer, a little bit of Jake Gyllenhaal, lots of Maddie Healy, a little bit of Joe Alwyn, like to weave into these songs to give it a fuller picture, but also not to be like as, I think she's seeing the trends in her life.
So it's kind of composite.
Yeah, I think, well...
It's an anthology of breakups.
Anthology. Well, and, yeah.
Oh, quote. That's a quote by me. Thank you.
I believe we did Dear Reader off Midnights.
We have done Dear Reader.
And she tells us in Dear Reader that she's an unreliable narrator. And so I think when we get to Tortured Poets, we have to go in knowing that this is an unreliable narrator where she's just telling you the parts that stick out in her brain, the parts that she feels, but you're not getting a full story because it's impossible to get a full story from just one person's perspective.
It's a kaleidoscope of cocky cuckoos.
Jesus.
You left your typewriter at my apartment straight from the tortured poet's department. I think some things I never say, like, who uses typewriters anyway?
Yeah, I mean...
Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though.
That's a Dr. Seuss.
This is like Shel Silverstein Frost, but done in a cadence. That's very E.E.B. Cummings.
All poets. It's the poet.
So the
tortured poets department.
The reason why I want to go back to that first stanza is... that first George Costanza is because when we had talked previously about, you know, your insights into this album, mm-hmm. we had talked about Always Be My Always and how he said his group chat was the tortured poets.
The tortured men's department.
Yeah. And so when we heard about this album, we thought it was really much connecting to that. But based off of who, even if it's composite, if we're saying a lot of this is dealing with Mr. 1975.
Yeah. And I will tell you, my mind was blown. This album is a majority of Matty Healy feeling mm-hmm. songs.
Matty Healy feeling songs.
Well, because I don't really want to be like definitive this song is written about this person because mm-hmm. I don't know.
Right. It's too young. It's 5 days old.
Well, yeah. But also like I kind of think that the Swifties got a little reprimanded in this album. Trying to like pigeonhole people into her songs.
Oh, really?
By Taylor. Mother said.
Mother's mothering. Every day is like this.
Mother's mothering.
So the Swift fans are self sabotaging mode.
The Swifties are, some of us are in chastise. We're like, all right. But I mean, tattooed golden retriever smoking and eating chocolate bars and talking about Charlie Puth. I was like, well, I mean, this is. Matty Healy is a tattooed golden retriever. I'm not sure I would call John Mayer.
Or is it?
I would not call John Mayer.
Is it Travis?
No, it's not. It's definitely not Travis. There's a 0% chance that Travis Kelce has a typewriter.
Isn't that
0% chance? There is a couple Travis Kelce songs on this album, but
You smoked then ate 7 bars of chocolate.
Okay, let's just, first of all, Travis Kelce would not know who Dylan Thomas is.
Maybe hi, Travis would.
No. There's nothing about this that is Travis Kelce.
Well, okay, so
why are you bashing him?
Yeah.
I'm not bashing him. I love just Travis Kelce.
He's not concussed. He's not overly concussed.
He's just not. That's not.
So okay, let's look at this as it's a kaleidoscope.
But like, let's also not try to like go off.
No, I know.
On a tangent that's not productive.
The tangent I want to go off.
Is it going to be?
I think it's kind of. Just hear me out. I think it's kind of dark if you want to think about it.
The song is very dark.
You smoked and ate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should have been a bigger artist. I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever.
Yeah.
What kills dogs?
Chocolate.
Is it summarizing kind of that relationship?
Yes.
Like this is the last moment we share is like we're having this discussion and then I put you to sleep or you put yourself to sleep and you die.
It's a pretty good set of lyrics.
Yeah.
Ooh.
No, Taylor's not messing around. Like she's this is a pretty raw album because normally they wouldn't put the.
But you awaken with dread, pouring nails in your head. But I've read this one where you come undone. I choose the cyclone with you.
So she keeps saying, there's one line in here before that. I've seen this episode and still love this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says the line you just read. And I was like, that makes me think of Exile, where she goes, I've seen this show before mm-hmm. and I didn't like the ending. And that was a song about that she wrote with Joe. That was a song, I think, as we're looking back on now, she narrated the breakup there.
Mm-hmm.
And to have her kind of be like, I've seen the show and I'd watch it again. Like,
well, so it's...
We're seeing a lot of juxtaposition in this, where if you're not an eagle-eyed Swiftie or a well-trained ear Swiftie, these lyrics might just kind of roll past you. But I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, what did she just say?
If you take the first in Exile,
mm-hmm.
I've seen this show before and I didn't like the ending. Uh-huh. And you can blame me for butchering that line, Schwafties. But it's saying like in the grand scheme, this show, the end part of it, I know it's like it's going to hurt. It's bad. It's not what I want. It's not satisfying. And in this case, I've seen this episode before, but I still like the show.
Mm-hmm.
it's the idea of in that previous song, it's the whole thing culminates in the ending. And I've been here and I know this is going to be, I don't enjoy this. And this is this small portion that can come at any part, the episode in the show, the grand scheme. I've seen it. So I remember it. I know what's going to happen. I have my own thoughts and feelings about it, but I still like the show.
Because it's that situationship that just keeps coming back. It yes. just keeps coming back. And you're like, I've done this before. I know what happens, but let's do it again.
The T-Swift 1000, it's a learning CPU. It remembers. It's built up a knowledge.
Let's do this again. Like we've crashed and burned, but
I'm choosing.
We were younger then. Who's going to love you like me?
You know what? I'm in my 30s now. I'll do this again. Yeah. Why not? Let's go on this wild ride.
When you like, she has a song called Straight Out the Slammer.
Called what?
Straight Out the Slammer.
Okay.
And it's about ending a relationship ending and the first person you're going to call after that. Like this, when I tell you that this is a situationship manic moment, that unless you have been in that like wild ride where your friends are like, for the love of God, no, please, no, block his number, stay away, do not talk to him.
Can't
and then
relate.
There's those
Can't
few
relate.
People who are like, I mean, it could be fun. You're like, Yeah,
those people.
Jack says it's fine.
I'm with these psychopaths over here. They get me.
And Jack is like, I didn't say it was fine. I just said I would support your decisions.
Yeah. Can't relate.
No, can't either.
Oh, God.
Can't either. You're like, you know, we're older. We've been through some stuff. And I just think it's really funny because in the beginning, we get a lot of context clues about like when this happened and where Taylor kind of was in her world. And this is like really when like she was being introduced to Phoebe Bridgers mm-hmm. and Bo Burnham and the Boy Genius guys, mm-hmm. the girls and like this whole crew. And that really came about from Maddie Healy. Mm-hmm. And now Lucy is like, I don't talk to that man anymore. And so like she's sending very clear messages to him being like, yeah, it all gets back. Mm-hmm. But she's also like, doing it in a way where you're like, I was saying the same thing. I felt the same way, but obviously this is going to crash and burn. Mm-hmm. And it's so wild to me to be like, oh, she had to do this on such a public scale. And the Swifties hated him. Like people were horrified that the Saint Taylor would go from the perfect Joe Alwyn to this rock star living a rock star life with the all that comes with it mm-hmm. and says inappropriate things and does inappropriate things and mm-hmm. is not sober on any stretch of the imagination or from any substance that we're aware of.
Was he the rebound guy?
Yeah.
Oh, the short one.
The guy from the band.
Yeah. He was there for just like a hot second.
That
right?
we know of. Yeah.
There's also speculation that they were involved in 2014.
There's a lot of speculation that this has been going on. He was a back burner for her.
I forgot about him because he was just like there and he was gone.
I mean, you won't after this album. And he actually commented on it and he was like, I think it's a great album. Taylor did a great job because he knew it could have been way worse.
There is this little tidbit of a thing there in their refrains and stuff, you know, you're not him. I'm not Patti Smith. This isn't the Chelsea mm-hmm. Hotel. We're two modern idiots.
Yeah.
And then like the third or last time she says it, it's just we're two idiots. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, to me in poetry, that stands a bit more because it's like modern. It's, you know, time and place. We have an understanding of what's going on here. And then just going to two idiots. It's like this is tale as old as time. Well, this has happened to many people before us. We're just two timeless idiots.
Well, it feels fresh in the moment and you're like, this is different. It's not your situationship, your crazy out of control, twin flame burning crazy. Mm-hmm. You don't understand because you're not, I know what is happening behind closed
doors. I've seen this episode.
I'm going to do it again. And then like you get, like as you get through it and you're starting to realize that like, no, nothing has changed. Your friends were right. You are an idiot. And, you know, you can hear that, like, when you go back to someone you shouldn't, and they're like, you're being an idiot. So, like, we're modern idiots. It's like reclaiming the...
Right.
And then as you get, kind of, you can see the writing on the wall, you're like, yeah, we're just two idiots. Like, mm-hmm. this was stupid. What are we doing?
you can be right about your behavior in the wrong ways.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those moments in a Taylor Swift anthology that you're like,
we're in the anthology now. I love this.
That we really just, she gets it. Like, if Taylor Swift can be stupid, like I was stupid, I'm not that stupid. Or maybe we're all that stupid, but it's fine.
Don't take her, dear reader, don't listen to her.
No, but she's been there. Like, she's like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I did it.
Yeah. We are all as dumb as we once were and will be again.
I just enjoy that
life is a flat circle.
I enjoy that she's just unapologetic about doing this. She's like, yeah.
It's not a bad song. It's not.
I give it a bop.
You give it a bop?
I give it a bop.
I'm going to give it a bebop. Okay. It's not.
A bop, well, who bop else minus? To code you, Sam?
It's not going to be. It's not high octane. I'm thrilled about this song. I definitely don't hate it. It's been so much fun talking about it, but it's not quite bop for me.
I think you have to listen to it a couple times. It's like a slow burn bop.
So I will let you know that I've only listened to one song off of this album.
Was that the Amy song?
The Amy song?
No.
The one with...
Which song did you listen to off this album?
I want to say listen to Florida.
Okay, that's probably the one song. Yes, I can see that.
That made me have a strong opinion that when we get to that song, we will get to that. But this is not something I'm...
Florida's one hell of a drug.
This is not something I'm not going to flirt with and run... It's not something I'm going to run away from. It's there, and it's more than just there. It exists. It's taken up space and matter, but it's not terrible. I don't hate it. I just feel like it's good. It's a B.
I think it's a very solid direction for the album. Like when you're like, what is Tortured Poets? And you can put this song on, you're like, all right.
I'm going to make a note of that because at some point we got to come back to that. Mm-hmm. And I want to really go into this. I feel like once we talk about more songs from this album or the album as a whole, I want to really touch on this whole Tortured Poets bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you guys should do another one from this album next week.
That's what I was going to offer.
Yes, we should.
Do you want to do,
roll and see what it comes up with, and then if I don't like it.
Do you want to go?
Just kidding.
Each and every week, we roll the Jillian Petruzziello Tortured Golf Course Bartender Die.
Oh, she is tortured.
We love and appreciate you, Jillian. We're glad you're not dead anymore. Thank you so much for being alive. And we're going to choose from this album, album number TS11, Township 11. We're going to choose one of these songs. Do you want to go original or deluxe version?
Let's roll. Well, I mean, there's 31, so roll the top. We'll just do the 20.
Sure. 5. Swifties like a 5.
Well, it is So Long London.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Cool.
Yep, this is one of the Joe Alwyn coded songs.
Coded, eh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was it, written phonetically? Really had to spell it out?
It's a tortured poet. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. I can't wait to hear your thoughts. For those of you who did suggest the manuscript for today, that was a undertaking that I don't think these guys were ready for yet. But thank you for reaching out with that. I chose not to do Fortnite because there was so much to cover with the release of Tortured Poets, and I didn't want to have a song and a music video to decode as well as it. So we'll get to the Fortnite.
Yeah, we're kind of living in a
video.
We're living in a pre-Malone stage.
Yeah, we're just like moving along. But I'm sure they will really love the music video as they always do.
Okay.
Thanks again for listening. If you haven't already, like, follow, subscribe, rate, review, tell us what you think.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite song is so far. If you're just, why you're one of the 300 million streams. What your thoughts are. Is this anthology? Is this the end of the eras?
I think my top 5, if I had to say right now, is Down Bad, LMAO, Doing It With a Broken Heart, Peter, and this one, Tortured Poets.
Okay. I'd have to say my top 5 right now don't exist. Shake It Off, Shake It Off, Shake It Off, Shake It Off.
Ew.
And
with that, thank you so much for listening. Have a great week. Enjoy your tortured poet era. I am Kate the Swifty.
And I'm not so swift, Sam.
We will see you next week, as we say. So long, London.
Farewell. Auf Wiedersehen. Adieu.